The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Oh, oh, oh! Dr. Rab, give me a howl. This is going to be a great show today. What you got? He is Dr. Rab Stewart. He's not in pain. He's howling in hilarity. He's loving the show, Dark Side of the Pooch. We do it every single week right here on the TKR app. Get the TKR app. Our listenership is through the roof. I don't need to tell you that. The show airs at least five times. And, of course, wherever you get your podcasts, we're on every major indice out there. To search Tony Curry Radio Podcast, it's Curry with a K, or Dark Side of the Pooch, and you will find us. And you can listen to the show as many times as you want. Always brought to you by Ed's Pet World. 205-879-1331, 879-1331. I was just down there last week. I got me an iridescent shark. I got me a rope fish. I got me a bunch of angel fish. I recouped my entire aquarium. Of course, they're known for exotic pets. They have ferrets. They have rabbits. We got Valentine's Day right around the corner. We got Easter coming up, tarantulas, all kinds of different snakes, unbelievable. Cockatoos, the whole nine yards is fantastic. And of course, they'll do everything they can to make sure that when you buy your exotic pet from Ed's, they'll take care of it and make sure that it lives a long and healthy life. Check out Ed's Pet World. And Seth is a big toy guy. He collects all kinds of collectibles from the 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever you got. If you got some stuff in your attic, buy, sell, and trade with Ed's Pet World and Seth in his toy closet. And some very exciting news, which I cannot divulge yet. That has to do with Ed's Pet World. We'll have that announcement here on the show on Dark Side of the Pooch as soon as we know it. Nearly 50 years in business, Ed's Pet World. All right, we got some mutt mail we're going to get into. But first thing I want to get into with Dr. Rab, of course, at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. And, of course, give them a call, 208-0301, anytime for the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. You into the Puppy Bowl at all? Puppy Bowl 19 coming up?
Not particularly, no. But, I mean, I can be persuaded.
You have Team Rough and Team Fluff. And quite frankly, I cannot believe this is the 19th year they're doing this thing. But I was thinking there was a huge penalty in the Cincinnati-KC AFC Championship game. It was a late hit at the end of the game and basically gave the game to Kansas City. I was thinking about the most things that dogs are penalized for. You feel where I'm going here? What are some things that you believe that dogs are most penalized for, whether it be taking a leak on our carpet, chewing our stuff, maybe biting with their teething, whatever it is, and how do we fix some of those things? Give me three or four of them.
I mean, you just named the top three that we see people complain about the most, and that's inappropriate urination or defecation, probably number one. Tearing up the house.
Let's back that up just a little bit, because I obviously had carpet in my last house. I had four dogs. Once one peed, it was over. Even the ones that were trained smelled that pee on the carpet, and of course they have to remark it. And unless I had them on a leash by my chair and they walked in a different part of the house, I knew what they were up to. Then I moved into this new place, the new studios here in Hoover, and the carpet is brand new, and I have not had one issue with my dogs peeing on the carpet. Is that because the carpet's new? When they smell something else on it, does that give me the poop on that?
Well, I can only tell you based on personal experience. I don't know that there's any real concrete scientific evidence out there, but I'm convinced that my dog learned to pee in our house from another family dog, not ours. But another family dog taught my dog how to pee in the house. And now he will do it occasionally, where he had no issues before. And I know that he has no medical problem. It doesn't happen every day. I've had him, I've had his urine looked at, and he will still do it occasionally. And my wife and I had a conversation the other day that we are tired of buying rugs.
Yep.
And we are not getting another dog until the dog that is peeing in the house goes to doggy heaven.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
I agree with you that it is, in a lot of dogs, it is a learned behavior, and it just creates a vicious cycle.
Yep. I mean, there's no doubt. Puppies, they love to bite. And of course, those teeth they have when they're really young are super sharp. I it doesn't bother me. I mean, it hurts a little bit, but I do like to play with puppies. Is that a bad habit to get into, letting your dog bite your hand?
You don't want to let your dog bite you, because when it bites you when it's a puppy, if it's not disciplined, then it's going to bite you when it's an adult, and it's going to be a lot more painful when it's done when they're an adult. So it's not something that's cute. And there are people that come in that think it's cute when little puppies bite us on our hands. And it is not cute for us because it is painful, even though they're puppies. And myself and my staff, they do not enjoy being bitten.
Yeah.
So we tell people, you know, this is something that you need to get a handle on. It's not funny. It's not fun. It's painful now, and it'll be much painful later.
Yeah. Finally, we're talking about dogs and what they're penalized most for. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and you brought it up again this past week. Barking. And we like dogs to bark because they're protecting us. And if someone's around our house and they're barking, normally too, if you watch Dateline, you always hear, I heard this dog barking. It was unlike any time I've ever heard it bark. It was making this incessant barking noise at 3 o'clock in the morning. And there's usually a murder right down the street. Right. So, I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing, a dog bark, but usually it'll bark when you're least expect it. It scares the hell out of you. And then of course we fly off the handle. What's the best way to keep a dog from barking? I mentioned my next door neighbors. I know you've talked about bark collars, and those seem to be, they work really, really well for our blue heeler. But you got any ideas on how to stop a dog from barking every time someone comes around the house or maybe knocks on the door?
Well, there's not a great way that I have found, unless you want to use a training collar where when they do any action that you don't like, you can give them a little buzz, and not the good kind of buzz that, you get after you drink an ice cold, whatever the beer is of your choice. Mm-hmm. So that's really the only, those training tools will work for any behavior that you don't like, but, it can be a hard thing to stop. Make your dog stop doing without the aid of something like that. And even, even with that, it can be one of the hardest traits to get them to stop doing because it comes so naturally to dogs.
Puppy Bulk 19 coming up in a TV near you if you don't want to watch the Super Bowl coming up here in a couple of weeks. Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, chief veterinarian, owner of the joint. It's a fantastic place. Check him out there, the Rossbridge area. And, of course, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter. I've got another story I want to get into, but I do want to get in some mutt mail. Speaking of barking, Susie in Homewood says her dog never barks. She's never heard her dog bark, and she wants her dog to bark. Can she make her dog bark? Can you teach a dog to bark?
Susie, you don't want your dog to bark because once it starts barking, it won't stop.
She's like, if someone's meandering around her front door, she wants her dog to start barking at it so she knows what's going on. She lives alone. She's single. Can you get your dog to bark?
Yeah, first it's got to bark, and then you can reward it for barking. So until it starts to bark, then you can't really reward it for doing something that it's not doing. So I would encourage her to get a friend's dog who does bark a lot and let them play, because usually that's all it takes is to get around a dog that does bark, and they will find their voice pretty quickly.
Dogs are succumb to peer pressure, don't they? You just mentioned that one dog taught your dog how to pee in the house. It's like that. It's the Eddie Haskell of the dog kingdom, right? I mean, it's like that one dude that teaches your dog all the bad habits.
Yeah. They really are. They just learn from each other, good or bad, good, bad, or ugly.
Your mutt mail, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Out of all the emails I get for all of my shows, these are my favorites. Whenever I see my inbox full, I know I'm going to get some great emails. We get some great ones today, so keep them coming here for Dr. Rab Stewart, brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Marcia in Good Hope says she has a very loving cat. It sleeps with her. They're very, very close. But occasionally she'll be petting her cat, and all of a sudden her cat just bites the hell out of her hand. What's up?
It's a cat, and that's what cats do.
Really? That's it?
Yeah. I mean, you want to be sure that it's not a repeatable thing. Like every time you touch a certain part of the body, it does it, because that can mean that the cat's in pain. But if you're pretty sure that it's not, because you're touching an area that's sensitive or painful, that's a very just normal cat-like behavior.
Okay. The LGBTQ plus community has started a brand new Instagram thing called Openly Gay Animals. These are animals that aren't necessarily gay, but they are animals that are with gay people. Mark in Atlanta, this is perfect. said, are there gay dogs? Are they made the same as a regular dog? Is there any type of genetic disposition about a gay dog? He wants to know, and I'm just going to answer. I'm going to ask all these questions. You can answer them however you want. Can you inseminate a female with gay dog sperm so it doesn't have to mate? And also, I'm not even gonna ask the last part of this email question.
Come on, ask it.
He wants to know, do gay dogs actually mate the same way? In other words, will one male hump another male, not for dominance, but because they actually want to mate with that male? Are there gay dogs?
I really don't know. I mean, because when you read a behavioral article about dogs that are, are humping toys or are humping pillows or are humping kids' legs or adults' legs or humping other dogs. Now, this is male and female. You know, I'm not talking about just when I said all of those things that dogs are humping, that's just not male dogs doing it. Female dogs will do it too.
Yeah.
And when you read any behavioral article, it is because that is a dominance thing. And I think that, you know, there are lots of emotions and feelings that can only be expressed verbally. And I'm not saying there are gay dogs. I'm not saying there aren't gay dogs. I have no idea. But I think that that is something that would probably have to be, you know, a verbal communication preference. You know, because there is such a history of dogs doing that because they're trying to dominate something else and show somebody else that they are the boss. I don't know that you could differentiate if there was any type of homosexual urge, you know, so I can't. So the first part, are there gay dogs? I don't know, and I don't know if we'll ever know.
Are there
Have
there been any genetic tests between two different dogs, and they have different? I know in humans we have XY chromosomes and things like that. Has there any been any research from that standpoint? All dogs the same or what?
Dogs and cats can be hermaphrodites.
Yes,
it's incredibly rare. Mm. I have never seen it that I know of, and hopefully I wouldn't know it if I saw it. It does happen. And so they are going to have some, it's not just going to be the standard XX or XY chromosome pattern when that happens.
Yeah.
Yes, that there can be hermaphrodites, but you have to be, you have to understand that just because, something is his hermaphrodite, you can't really judge like what a sexual preference would be in a dog or cat based on it being a hermaphrodite. You know what I'm saying? Because I do think that would be something that would have to be a verbal recognition of a preference.
Now, this is purely just an idea here, but I also realize that an animal becomes a lot like its owner and how it reacts to things. And owners also say they start looking like their pets. If an animal or a dog is around a gay couple, does it start acting any differently or would it, or, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know how it would act differently because I don't see couples like that acting differently than other people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know how it would act differently because to me, those people act just like everybody else.
All right. We have an epidemic in the pet world. We're going to get into that coming up here in just a second. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. This is called Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear the show at least 5 times a week on the TKR app. And thanks to the tens of thousands of folks who have downloaded the app. And of course, wherever you get your podcast, info at TonyCurryRadio.net, brought to you by Ed's Pet World, 879-1331, right there in beautiful Homewood. Get on there and check him out. Tell him Tone the Bone sent you. Luke in Birmingham wants to know, what is Dr. Rab's favorite animated animal on movies or television?
There have been so many great animated animals.
I know, right?
It's really hard to narrow it down. But I think I'm going to go with my first love of an animated animal. And there were two of them. And they were best friends.
Yes.
And they loved to eat boogers and fart. And it's Ren and Stimpy.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought you'd been, I thought you would have been a tramp guy, lighting the tramp kind of guy.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess I'm just like kind of, you know, irreverent, like when it comes to like wacky, like off the wall humor.
Yeah.
So I love Ren and Stimpy and Brian from Family Guy.
Yeah.
You know, Brian is, bless his heart, the alcoholic dog who's in love with his owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get some Ren and Stimpy, by the way, late on MTV and MTV2, by the way.
Okay. I've seen them all.
I forgot how funny those were until I ran into one the other night and I was like, this is disgusting. And it made me laugh the whole way. Steven Fort Payne says he lives right there at the bottom of the Appalachians, and he's got three dogs, and he believes one of his dogs were attacked by a coyote. It is cool. Well, he doesn't know for sure, but he can't imagine what else it would be that was attacking his dog. It's still alive, but it lost a leg. He said, is there any way to protect his animals from coyotes? I always thought coyotes were extremely unassuming. I know if anything's really small, they'll go after it. For the most part, if something's about the same size, they're pretty shy animals. Have you ever heard of a coyote attack?
I can't think of a confirmed, animal attack from a coyote. But I think that people will be surprised that, I think you're on the money about, coyotes and what they will and what they won't attack. But it's interesting that smaller animals are the ones that cause the most damage. And I think because a dog has them backed into a corner.
Yeah.
And it has no option left but to fight.
Yeah.
You know, coyotes have a lot of options because I don't know for a fact that they are an apex predator, but I mean, they're probably pretty close if they're not. They've got a lot of options as to what to attack. But these little, you hear almost more squirrel and chipmunk attacks than you do almost anything else, possums and raccoons, dogs trying to go after those things those type animals, we get more injuries than probably coyotes.
Have you ever had a dog attacked by a rooster?
Not that I know of.
Man, I'm telling you right now, because we had chickens, and obviously we had hens because we didn't want to hear the cockle-doodle-doodle at 5:30 in the morning. It didn't bother me because I was already up. And we had foxes, we had foxes, and almost one a night we were losing our chickens. We figured it was a fox or some type of rodent or varmint getting in and getting our chickens. And then I got a rooster by mistake, by the way. It was a chick, and it turned into a rooster. And after that rooster, we had no issues at all. I mean, but the problem was the rooster attacked us too. I mean, every time we went out in the backyard, it was like we had to put a hazmat suit on to feed our chickens because this rooster would just, it was so dominant. It attacked my 2-year-old daughter at one point and just scratched the bejeebers out of her back legs. But we never had we didn't have a red-tailed hawk. We didn't have any foxes. We had nothing after we got the rooster. Just an idea.
I don't know. Maybe Susie from earlier, Susie from Homewood, just forget making the dog bark. Just get yourself a rooster.
you don't get a rooster. No. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart. Sometimes he has good information. Sometimes he has good opinions. Don't get a pet rooster. Sid and Charlotte. Sid and Charlotte said, I don't know if you'll be able to answer this thing, said he bought 10 guinea pigs. He loves guinea pigs 2 years ago, and now he has 83 of them. Wants to know, can Dr. Rab fix guinea pigs, or can guinea pigs be fixed? And he also followed that up with, can all animals be fixed?
I have never altered a guinea pig. I've never been asked to alter a guinea pig. Now, I feel pretty confident that they can be because they have to have a uterus and ovaries to reproduce.
Yeah.
But even I used to work at a place that had a guy that did a lot of exotic work, like hamsters and gerbils and ferrets and, reptiles and that kind of stuff. And I saw him do a lot of interesting things, but I never saw him do any spay or neutering of a guinea pig. I don't think. I saw him do some rabbits. And I think probably the easiest thing to do, and this is me just really thinking on the fly, probably the easiest thing to do, I think, would be to neuter the males and just leave the females alone.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, this is outside our pay grade. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Since we're talking about that, I did want to get back to what we were talking about, gay dogs, for a few minutes. Have you ever, can you artificially inseminate a female dog? And have you ever had anyone do that for breeding purposes?
Oh, sure. I mean, that's really? it's done all the time. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's big business.
Really?
Artificial insemination, dog, that's big business. I'll tell you, like, I for whatever reason, I just started dying laughing at this the other day at the office. And I thought back to my time where I only worked on horses for a very short period of time, for about a year. But collecting a male horse, so collecting a stallion so that you can artificially inseminate a female, is one of the, like, if you walked to like a breeding facility and you saw people getting semen from a male horse and everything that goes into it and everything that has to be done to protect the horse and all of the people and get the specimen, I mean, you would die of laughter. It is the most ridiculous thing you have ever seen.
I think I actually saw Mike Rowe do a dirty jobs on that. I think he's got a dirty jobs episode, Mike Rowe, on collecting horse semen for that.
Everyone should go watch it.
Yeah, it is a dirty job for sure. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. TKR app is where you hear Dark Side of the Pooch or whatever you get your podcast. We're available on every major indices. Dr. Rab Stewart from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, brought to you by Ed's Pet World down there in Homewood. Getting ready for their 50th anniversary. Some big news coming up with Seth and the group. I'll let you know when I hear it. 879-1331. Doug in Greenville wants to know, he's going through a messy divorce. I'm not going to read the whole thing. He's going through a messy divorce. They've got a purebred Great Dane. He wants it in divorce settlement. He's like, does Dr. Reb have a good pet attorney? And have you dealt with women and men coming into your office who obviously love their pets? I mean, if that's the tipping point, so I could get her away or get him away from me, I'm like, you can have the animal, but do you have people fight over animals?
No, I've never experienced that. I don't have any guidance for him as to if there's a special, you know, attorney that would, you know, handle that kind of stuff or not. I would assume that any, you know, divorce attorney would be able to sort that out. But the only experience I had with this was I had a client who, it was mainly the husband's dog, and they were getting divorced. All right. And so to get the wife to get back at the husband, she just gave the dog away without the guy knowing.
Oh, dude.
She just gave the guy's dog away because she was very upset at something that had occurred.
Away a child. I mean, for some guys, that's like giving away. I mean, if it's his hunting dog or a dog that he spends a lot of time with, that's like giving away a child.
Yeah. I mean, it was, that's the only example that I know of where that happened.
So I saw this great story on Mirror. It's a great site. It's a European site. And they've got some pretty funny, saucy stuff. And this guy got married to this gal. Her name was Zelda. And he could not stand her name, Zelda. He said she was the perfect woman. She was great. He just didn't like her name. So he started calling her pet names. And after a while, she's like, why don't you ever call me by my name? It's a Greek name. And he's like, I just don't like saying the word Zelda. Again, I consider the site, right? But I was like, wow. But Nina in Tannehill wants to know, what are Dr. Rab's favorite pet names he calls his wife?
Oh man, I don't call her. I just call her babe.
You don't throw a chicken.
Call her babe.
You don't
call her chicken. You don't call her ever. Chicken. I ever call her. I mean her.
Sugar britches.
No, chicken butt. Don't call her that. No? I'll sometimes shorten her name. Her name's Elaine. And I'll sometimes call her like Lainey or, you know, Lane or something like that. But, I should start calling her Zelda.
Yeah. You should try that. And you could tell her you heard the story on Dark Side of the Pooch. I'm sure she'd appreciate it. You know, it's funny because I don't call anybody by their name. I don't. I mean, your name, we call you Dr. Rab, and I do it for the show. But I don't think I ever said my wife's name. If I did, we were having a serious conversation. I call my son Xavier X-Man or Boo Boo. I call Santo Cruz, which is his middle name. I call Lila Big L. I think it's an affirmative. You know, when I call people baby or honey or whatever, it's a term of affirmation. It's a term of endearment. I don't mean anything by it. It just means that I feel comfortable enough to call you that. I'll call people sweetheart and they give me a look like they're going to smack the hell out of me. And I'm like, no, I appreciate my number seven order with an extra fry. Yeah, I appreciate that. But some people like that. Some people don't. So it's kind
of
strange.
I call a lot of people names behind their back.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. We all do that. A couple more minutes here. Story from the ASPCA has said now that roughly 50% of all dogs in this country are obese. And that when they go in for any type of treatment, 10% of the dogs that go in actually lose the weight. But 40% of those dogs end up putting the weight back on within a period of a year. It seems like it would be a lot easier to get our animals to lose weight as opposed it would be for ours, because we can impose our willpower on our animals and we can refrain and keep them from eating and drinking and we can make them walk and stuff. I know how difficult it is for me to take off 10 or 15 pounds, but what are your thoughts on I didn't realize, because I haven't seen like a really fat dog in a long time. But what's your thoughts on the obesity rate in this country, and what does it say about what we're doing for our animals, first of all, and second of all, the time they have left on this earth? How does it affect their life expectancy?
I think the 50% is, it depends on where you are.
Yeah.
And I think that where we are, I don't think we're at 50%. I mean, maybe I'm looking at it through like rose colored glasses, but I would definitely agree that it's hard to get pets to lose weight, because we don't want to, there's only so many ways that we can express our love for our pets. And one of the main ones is by giving them a bunch of food and treats and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's hard for them to lose weight because it's hard for us as a people not to give them those things, because it's a way that we can, show that we love them. And also, exercising a dog is hard work. I think it's a lot harder to exercise my own dog than it is for me to exercise.
I agree.
Because when I exercise, I can exercise my own way. And if that is, with free weights, or if that's doing a class, or if that's getting on a treadmill and, listening to music, those are all things that I enjoy to do. But what I don't enjoy doing is taking my dog for a walk when it's raining and 50 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And the dog doesn't want to do that either, for the most part. So I think when you try to get a dog to lose weight, it's really hard to do. It's a two-pronged approach. You have to limit their food, which people don't want to do for the reason I just listed. And then also their exercise is limited to only doing outside things. And I mean, let's be honest, half the time the weather's crappy. It's either too hot, too cold, or raining.
It makes sense, though, that if we're having obesity rate issues as humans in the United States, that our pets are going to have obesity rate problems. You never fail when you see morbidly obese mom and dad. Chances are their kid's going to be obese as well. And that's a little different, because we don't walk our children, but we don't play with them as often outside if we know that we're in bad shape, our knees hurt, or we're morbidly obese. I would certainly think that you would see a direct correlation between fat moms and dads and their fat animals, because they ain't walking their pets because they ain't walking themselves, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. And so the moral of that story is, don't let your dog get fat in the first place.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to get the weight off. And the thing that I don't understand why people, like, they have a hard time knowing how much to feed their animal. And every bag of dog food or cat food that you buy has the exact amount to feed your pet based on its age and weight.
Yeah, go ahead. I just say this. I don't, I forgot to feed my dogs last night. But they weren't pitching a fit for it, so I didn't feed them. They're like children. They'll eat when they're hungry. If they're not going to eat what you put on the table, they'll eat when they get hungry enough. But I mean, I've forgotten to feed my dogs on occasion. They get fed twice a day. They get a cup of food. But
I think everybody's done that. I think everybody has.
Yeah. They're not going to die. They're not, you know, you don't want to go 3 or 4 days, but I mean, you know, 1 day, 2 days here, it's not bad to fast your dog once in a while. It's going to be okay. As long as they're well watered and they're good to go. Right.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to die from not eating for a day. Sometimes they do that themselves. They don't eat for a day, you know, but look at everybody, you know, that's out there listening. Just look at the back of the bag. It's going to tell you how much to feed. And if you'll do that and stick to that, they're not going to get fat. And then you're not going to have to worry about it. And they're going to live a lot longer if they're not fat. Live years longer if they're not overweight.
Fantastic show. Dark Side of the Pooch brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Exotic pets, man. It's the best place in town. It's been open nearly 50 years. Seth down there, Angie, the entire crew, they do just a wonderful job. They have ferrets. They have chinchillas. They have sugar gliders. They have fish. They have snakes. They have birds all over the place. They got rabbits, all kinds of great exotic pets, water turtles, shrimp, you name it. Great fish down there is too. And of course, Seth is the man when it comes to the toy closet. About 50% of his business now is collectibles, watches, Battlestar Galactica stuff, Star Wars stuff. It's all in the box. If you've got some up in the attic, buy, sell, or trade with Seth. And some big news coming out of Ed's Pet World coming soon. We'll release it and let you know right here on Dark Side of Pooch, Ed's Pet World, 879-1331. Dr. Rab, as always, remarkable show. That's a zinger right there, but I appreciate you.
That was a great time.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.